Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse number 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life in the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you'd help us as we turn our hearts and our attention to your word. And Lord, Brother Littner prayed, and Lord, I second the prayer, Lord, that you would, Lord, do a work of grace, a work of revival in our hearts. Lord, a lot of times it's seen by the outward, and that's a good thing. But Lord, we know it starts in the inward. Something has to start a fire within us. A passion, Lord, towards you, a love for you, a desire to please you, a willingness, Lord, to forsake all things in order to live a life pleasing to you. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us. All we have is you, your Spirit, and we have your Word. But Lord, that is sufficient. It's sufficient to do your work. So Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, we beseech you for this thing. We ask now in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to draw from our message when we look at our text here. In verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We're going to use that phrase there. Therefore, choose life. Now, if you recall, as we on Wednesday nights, as we were talking about back now several months in our series about connecting the dots, and we were talking about these first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They're written by Moses, and when you get to Deuteronomy, the thing about Deuteronomy, it's a kind of a repeat. It goes over a lot of things that Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers talks about, and it repeats it and kind of goes over the events again. And it's a retelling. Moses is retelling all these things. He's the previous generation that was with them when they left Egypt. That generation has now perished in the wilderness, and a new generation has risen up, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River, and Joshua is going to lead them into the promised land. And so you get to the end of Moses' life here, and that's kind of, as you read Deuteronomy, especially at the end of Deuteronomy, it's an older fella who is trying to give wise counsel to these people before he's about to go and they're about to go into the promised land. He's about to go to heaven, they're about to go into the promised land. And so as you read these verses, at least as I read these verses, I think of someone who has just has this heart for these people. He's beseeching them. He's pleading with them. He's saying, now there's before you, there's two paths. There's one that leads to life and blessing. There's one that leads to death and cursing. And he's begging them, please choose life. He has seen 40 years of people who have chosen the wrong path and their lives have ended. And they came out of Egypt with him, and he's buried them in the wilderness. And he's seen the destruction of their bad choices. And he's pleading to this next generation, please choose life. Please do what's right. Don't be like that previous generation. I think sometimes as you get older, you kind of maybe look at life that way. Maybe a little different than when you're younger, because you kind of have some experiences. You look at life a little different. And you look at the generation or a couple of generations maybe coming after you, and you see how desirous you have them to choose life, to choose the right things. Now, I tease a little bit about my age, saying that I'm a young 50, but really, I don't really have any issues about getting older. I mean, I tease about it, but it really, I mean, that's just, it's just fun and games to me. But the thing that really jumps out at me about getting older is I am now at the age that the preachers were when I started out. And that's hard for me to sometimes get my hands around. I mean, I am now, when I was the 19-year-old sitting in at Hiles Anderson and looking at the older preachers, now I am that age of the older preachers, and they would talk about previous generations and give examples, and now I find myself in their shoes looking back towards 19-year-olds or 9-year-olds or whatever it may be with the same mentality that now you see that you've had these events you've gone through. Moses is kind of in that situation. He's looking at these younger generations and his heart goes out to them. You see, this is a flippant statement, I think. Sometimes we just make it flippantly, but it's a very true statement. Life, in essence, is made up of choices. That's what life is. Life isn't chance, and life isn't luck, and life isn't fate, and life isn't just opportunity, and you know, a certain good opportunities, one person, and another person didn't have it, and so therefore this guy turns out well, and this guy doesn't. That's not what life is. Life is made up of choices. And those choices have consequences. At 50, I can tell you this, I'm where I'm at 50 because of the choices I made. I'm not by luck. I didn't just stumble into where I'm at. Now, I've thought about saying it, and I've thought about not about saying it, and I've kind of went back and forth. I'm going to go ahead and say it, because it sounds almost self-serving, but I'm not trying to sound that way. I guess at some times I have a little bit of conflict or tension with certain people, because when I'm talking to them, they almost come across to me in talking, you know, in reference to me as if I have had just a stroke of luck in my life. They'll talk about maybe their background in drugs or their background drinking or maybe divorce or whatever the tragedy of their life has been, and they almost talk to me as if, well, I don't know what they're talking about. I've never had any problems. I've never had any struggles, and you know, I have no idea what they've gone through. Well, part of that is true. I've never gone through those things in that way. But now here's the part I hesitate to say, but I'll say it. The reason I didn't go through it, because I made different choices. I mean, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up in a situation where those things were not presented to me. But I made a choice. I said, that's not what I want. That's death. That's cursing. That's not what I want. I want life and blessing. And I purposely made decisions and rejected that and said, this is the life I want. And where I'm at in life isn't simply because I've stumbled into it or by luck fell into it, but the result of choices I've made. There's an old story. It goes like this. There was an older guy in the town, and he seemed to always have the wise thing to say. You know, people try to trip him up, but he always seemed to have the right, wise, proper thing to say no matter what you asked him. So these boys, about three boys, got together, and they said, we've found a way to entrap this guy, to trick him up. We have a way that no matter what he says, his answer will be wrong. So they went and caught a bird. They went knocking this guy's door, and they held this bird. One of the boys held the bird behind his back like this, and they said to him, well, you seem to always have the right answer. Let me ask you a question. I have a bird behind my back, and there's three of them, so the guy couldn't see the bird. And he said, we have a bird here behind our back, and let me ask you this. Is the bird alive, or is the bird dead? They thought they had the perfect way of catching him. If he said dead, they would let him go, and he would fly. The bird was alive. But if he happened to say alive, they would just, while they're behind his back, they'd wring its neck and then show a dead bird and say, see, you're wrong. The old man looked at them. The boys looked at the old man. They kind of had this smirk on their face. They kind of said, well, you know, they're thinking, we got you. The old man looked at him a few minutes and he said this, it is as you choose. That's a wise statement, isn't it? And that's really what life is. It is as you choose. It's the choices you make and then the consequences of those choices. Now, thank God for His grace and His mercy. Even when we make bad choices, He's gracious to us, and that's all true. But tonight, I just want to talk about this idea about choosing life, making good, proper, right choices in life. Again, let me just talk about my age for a minute. I'm 50 years of age. I think you've heard that, right? I'm 50 years old. Most likely, my life going forward, most of the major decisions of my life have been made. I've chosen who I'm going to marry. I've chosen where I'm living. I'm choosing my vocation already. I've made choices about my kids. I've made choices about my finances. I've made choices about my health. My major choices have been made in life. I still have choices, but most of my choices have been made. The major, big choices. There's some in our church that's not true. For example, we'll use the two boys, Brendan and Joe. They're both 15, right? In the next 10 years, they'll make a whole lot more important choices than I'll make. By the time they're 25, they'll have made all kinds of choices. And maybe by the time they're 25, their life is pretty much pointed out in front of them based on these choices they make over the next 10 years. And so we have to understand that choices have consequences, and no matter what age you are, there are consequences, but at different ages, maybe the consequences are even more important. So just for a few minutes tonight, I'm not necessarily going to be dramatic or theatric or entertaining or even interesting, but for the next few minutes, I really kind of bummed you out. Like, why did I even show up then? I should have told you this morning, I'd brought a pillow. Now, for the next few minutes, though, I'm just going to talk a little bit, maybe pastorally, about this idea about choices. I'll give you four thoughts about it. The first thing I want you to understand is this. Number one is this. When it comes to choices, we all want the same result. For the most part, I mean, there's always some wackos out there, but for the most part, most normal human beings, we want the same result. When you're talking about life, talking about the outcome of life, we want the same result. For example, most of us, if you'd have asked me when I was young, 17, 18, 19, 20, prior to getting married, even my early years of being married, well, what is it you want in life? I mean, besides, you know, serving the Lord, I'm not downplaying that, but I'm pushing that to the side for a moment. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about life, okay? What do you want in life? I'd say, well, I want to be able to provide for my family. I want to have a decent house. I want to raise some decent kids. I want to be healthy. I want to enjoy life. I want to have some time with my family. Those are the type of things I think we all want in life. I think most of us say, you know, that's kind of what we want in life. We want to have a good wife or a good husband, good kids, good job, a good house, a good family life, good friends. Those are the things we want. Now, listen carefully. Those things are not wrong. I think sometimes in our type of a church, we almost look down upon that as a selfish thing. But I think there's a noble desire there. Those things are not inherently wrong. We do not preach a health and wealth gospel. We're not saying, trust the Lord, you'll be healthy and wealthy. But at the same time, we don't preach a poverty and sickness gospel either. Say, you know, if you love the Lord, then you'll be sick and poor. You don't have to be sick and poor to serve the Lord. But it doesn't mean necessarily you're going to be healthy or wealthy either. Now, I think one of the things that we do need to understand is this. As we think about choices and as we think about making those type of choices, that we do have responsibility for people in our family. And the choices we make always have to take that in consideration. We have to think about our family, think about our kids, think about our wife, think about our husband. We have to make choices that way. Here's what 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." I think it's right that we would want what's best for our family. Decent clothes for our kids, nice house for our family. We're not talking about, you know, spending buku monies on the newest fashion and newest fad, but just we want them to have nice clothes. We want to have a decent car. We don't want every time we have to go out there to have to jump it and push it and hopefully we make it back. You know, oh, here's the keys, wife, go shopping and hopefully the car starts when you get back. You know, we want to have a decent car, a decent house. We don't want it to rain inside when it's raining outside. We want to have a decent house, decent car, decent clothes. We want to have a decent place to live. I think all those, we want our kids to have a decent education. All those things I think are good things. Now, the only time we get in trouble in this idea of, again, choices, about wanting these results, the only time we get in trouble, you have to be careful about, is when that becomes the only goal. When that's the only thing we think about is, okay, I gotta get a good job so I can have a good house and I have a good wife and good kids. When that's the end result and that's all we think about, that's the problem. It's not wrong to say, I have no idea what Brendan's going to do when he grows up. And at 15, Brendan has no idea what Brendan's going to do when he grows up. But I think in Brendan's heart, and I'll probably pick on you a lot. You don't mind that, do you? Okay, good. Because if you'd have said, yes, you know, I,
Yeah, I would still pick on you. So anyways, here's Brendan when he grows up and he's looking forward. There's nothing wrong with Brendan saying, you know, I want to have a good education. I want to have a good income. I want to be able to take care of my, I don't want to have to live on welfare all my life. I don't want to have to beg for, I want to be able to pay my bills. I want to be able to take care of my family. I think those are all noble things for a young man to desire. But in that desire, you ought to say as well, but I also want to serve the Lord in these things. I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right by my family, but I also want to do what's right by the Lord. I want to make sure I'm pleasing Him. And so when we think about these choices of life, we all want the same result. And I think those are good, noble results, but somewhere the Lord has to be a part of these things. The problem comes when our only focus is on those things. Jesus said this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So I think it's okay to seek to take care of your family. It's okay to seek to provide for your own. It's even, I think, okay to seek to raise your standard of living. Try to do better. Try to do better every year and do better and better. But somewhere along the line, this idea of seeking the Lord and seeking His kingdom has to be first and foremost and has to be very important in our life as well. Let's move on because that's not really the main thrust yet tonight. So we're talking about this idea of choices, and I think we all want the same result. But here's the second thing, now we move a little bit closer to it. The second thing is this: these results that we want are not found in things. And this is where we get tripped up at. Somehow in our mind, somehow because of our humanity, it's always attached to a thing. That thing becomes the goal instead of what should be the goal. What we really want is not money. Now, you're sitting there probably saying, "Yeah, maybe not so. Maybe I do want money. I got some bills. I got some things I could do with money." But in reality, it's not. In reality, it's not simply the accumulation of money. I can prove it. How much of the money you keep and how much money you spend. We don't really keep all of it, do we? If it was just money, then all we do is hold on to the money and never spend it. But we spend money because actually what we want is what the money can maybe get us. It's those things. So it's not just money. It's not even necessarily the things. Here's what's funny. Now, I won't mention any names because I wouldn't want to embarrass my wife, but here's what's funny. It's funny the things we accumulate that a year or two later becomes the things we sell in our yard sale. The thing we look at, no, I'm just teasing her because you would never do this. She's the perfect wife. I have to go home tonight. And so someone else and someone else's family, they go, "Oh, this is what we need. This is what we got to have." Okay, now I'm feeling some heat here. So let me say, here's what I do. This is where I'm wrong at. Okay, I go say, "Boy, this is the thing I want." And then you get it and you have it. And boy, it's like everything. Boy, you go to Best Buy and you see all these things. I have now for like the last 2 months. I saw something online for 2 months. There's a store on the other side of Cleveland called Micro Center, and they sell a cheap knockoff of a tablet that runs Windows 8. It's only like $100. And I've been putting my pennies. I said, I can put $100. I can buy that thing. I have an Android tablet, but I don't have a Windows tablet. And almost every day I go online, I say, "Is it any cheaper?" And I think, "Well, I could drive over there. I could buy that." And here's what every time I think, what would I do with it? I don't really have any reason at all to have it, except I don't have it and I want it. And I always say, but why? Why simply buy something else you're going to put on your desk and not use? That makes no sense. But that's kind of how we think. We try to hoard things, but things are not really what we want. The results that we desire, we're making choices. We want to have certain results, but the results really aren't found in things. Really, what is it what is it that we want? What is the really results we want? I think things like this: joy and peace and happiness and love and contentment. Those are the things what we seek after. Those really is what our heart wants to have. And so when we make choices, we got to say, what choice should I make? Not just so I can make a lot of money to get something, but what choice should I make so that I have this peace and joy in my life? Now, I don't know what my life would have been like if I didn't go to Hiles Anderson. And again, I say this, I'm not trying to puff myself. This is my testimony. This is my reality in my life. Okay? I was in senior in high school. That was a knock on what class would have been. Algebra 2. Algebra 2 class, Mr. Clonch was my teacher. So that I forget the guy's name. In fact, he just retired. He's been there for like, I think, since Abraham Lincoln. Whoever the guidance counselor was, I forget his name all of a sudden. But anyway, Mr. Bloom. Mr. Bloom came in. He said, Mr. Clonch, he said, can I speak to Dennis White? And I'm sitting there thinking, here's what you're thinking. What did I do? I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. It was him. I know. It was him. Whatever it was him. And so he calls me out in the hallway, and he hands me a form, and he says, Dennis, he says, you fill this form out. He says, it's because of your grades, because you're smart and your family's poor, two good combinations. And here you go. And he said, this is a form, whatever, some type of federal something they had. And he said, your way will be paid through all 4 years of college. Now, I was thinking about going to WVU or somewhere place like that. I was thinking going into medical school or something. And I could have reached that, filled it out, turned it in, gone to college, been a doctor, made a lot of money. But you know what? I've never been as happy as I am today. Because you know what I found at Howells Anderson? It wasn't an education. It was a wife. That means more. You see, really what you want in life isn't simply a car or a house or toys or gadgets. What you want in life is peace and happiness and joy and contentment. How many men have made mistakes because they married someone just because they wiggled a certain way or they winked at them a certain way? And they, like a dog in heat, their tongue fell down, they started chasing, and then when they caught that person and married that person, they found out, yeah, they may have a certain wiggle and a certain wink, but there's other things that weren't so attractive inwardly. Or, vice versa, here's a girl, sees this guy, and he's maybe not as big as me. Maybe not, I'm just kidding. Here's a guy, 6'6", muscles everywhere. He's got the smile, he smiles and ding, one of those, like the glistens off his smile. And then you're like, wow, I guess. I have no idea. I'm assuming Sarah can correct me because I have no idea how a girl feels towards a guy. I don't ever have felt anything towards a guy other than, hey, stinky, how you doing? But I'm guessing here, okay? This is what Sarah tells me. So here's Sarah. She sees this guy, big old muscle guy, 6'6", big old biceps, perfect smile, perfect hair. And all of a sudden her heart goes, thum, 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 thum. Oh, he's such a hunk. Oh, he's so good looking. Now, is it wrong to be a hunk and be good looking? No. I guess. But watch this. If that's all you look for, you're going to get probably something you don't want. You want someone who has integrity, someone who has character. Let me tell you what, you want a husband who'll pay the bills. You want a husband that you know when he goes to work, you're not afraid of who he might be sleeping around with at work. You want someone who you can count on, someone you know will be a good father to your kids. Those are the things we really want. The things we want aren't are measured in dollars or cents. Or it isn't measured in houses and things like that. We want the joy and peace and happiness and love and contentment. Those are the things we desire in life. I think that's what Moses is trying to get across to him. You don't want the cursing and the death. You want the life and the blessing. This is what you need to choose. Those are what we really desire, should be seeking after. And let's move a little more specific now. Third thing I would have you to understand tonight about choices is this. A successful life is made up of spiritual choices. That's really what it boils down to. A successful life is made up of spiritual choices. I see if I make it as clear as I can make it. At the end of your life, you're going to be successful or failure based on what kind of choices you made, and success is spiritual choices. If they're not spiritual, you're going to end your life and you're going to be miserable. Now, you've heard me say this. There is no, and I wish this was not true, but this is the reality. There is no guaranteed formula that your kids are going to turn out right. There's no guarantee. I understand that because they can be shown the light and walk into darkness. I understand that, and it breaks every parent's heart that's reality. But I tell you this, there is at least a good hope and desire and opportunity if you're making the right choices. ahead of time. At least, I think more often than not, they turn out if you can put them in the right position and put them in the right place.
Success isn't going to be measured by the house or the car, the IRA, the pension. Success is going to be measured by the spiritual choices you've made.
Satan comes to Adam and Eve, and he says this to them. He says, "Eat of this fruit," and here's the promise he makes to them. He says, "You'll be as what? Gods." Isn't that kind of an interesting promise he makes to them? Let me put it in our day and age. He basically says, do this, and you can have all you want. You can have what you want. Just do this, and you can have. And that's how he approaches it. He doesn't say, "Hey, do this, and your life be wrecked." No, do this, and you can have what you want. You can have all the things. It's a shortcut. Don't worry about doing right. Doing right's hard. Doing the right thing is always difficult. Just do what you want. You can be as gods. You can have what you want.
And the truth is, what they got was death and a curse. See, success is found in making spiritual choices. You make all the money you want. You can be popular. You can be the center of attention, and often that's what we want. We want this. We want. Now, it's a famous show. I don't know if I've ever watched it. I've watched little clips of it, like on YouTube. But most of you know what the show is. It's called Cheers. And they had one guy. What was his name? Ned or Ted or something? What and what it was. We'll say it was John. But it was something. And the guy would walk in. And when he walked in, now let's say, okay, here comes, I don't even know who the character. Let's say Frank. Frank walks in and they'd say, "Hi, Frank." And then let's say John walks in. They'd say, "Hi, John." And then let's say Charlie walks in. "Hi, Charlie." And then whoever, let's say it was Ted. Ted walks in. "Hey, Ted! Hey, Ted!" Everyone, "Hey, Ted!" And Ted would walk in. Ted was like the center of attention. You know, that pleases us. We like that. We like being the center of attention. We like the recognition. And sometimes we do things that we should not be doing just to get that recognition, just to become the center. So we make choices. We make all the money. We make choices to be popular. We make choices to be the center of attention. Make choices so we're the Miss America or the Mr. America. Show off our body. Flex our biceps. Wear revealing clothes. And all those type of things to honor, to please ourselves. And all those terrible choices we can make. But I'm telling you, the end of it is going to be death. The end of it is destruction. It might be fun for a little while, but the end result is destruction. And I say this, and I'm not trying to be unkind to those who have messed up. And okay, watch this. If you've made bad choices, and you got some bad results in your life, I'm not trying to kick you. I'm not trying to knock you down. I'm not trying to tell you you're a miserable person. God is gracious, and even in the worst choices, God's grace can lift us up, and His mercy can be close to us, and He can give us some other opportunities. But I'm going to be very clear about this. But you'll never have the same opportunities again, because those things are gone. And I'm not trying to be unkind when I say this, but I say it just because you're young. When I think of Sarah, and I think of Brendan, and I think of Joe, even others who are even younger than that, but they're kind of a little bit older of the younger. They really have one shot at making the best. I'm not saying if Brendan blows it and messes up, I'm not saying God just kicks him to the curb. Yes, God is gracious. God's a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, 1,000 chances. That is true. But no chance is as good as that first chance. Well, remember the prodigal son? He came back, and the dad put a ring on his finger and a coat on his back. He hugged him, welcomed him back. "My son, I thought you were dead, and you're alive. Let's have a party." And he came back, and it seems like everything's okay, except for this. You understand? What did he say to the elder son, the elder brother? He said, this is what the dad said, "All that I have is yours." There was no inheritance anymore for the younger son. He had wasted it. The younger son was welcomed back. The younger son was loved. But the younger son received no inheritance. He never had that opportunity again. He wasted it. He still had love. He still had grace. And he still had a place to live and food to eat. And God was still, the dad/God is still good.
But you only have that one opportunity. And I'm telling you, a successful life is made of a spiritual choice. And you say, this is what I'm going to do. I was walking. I was talking about walking up the cliff, up to Bertha Hill. Sometimes, when I didn't want to put my life at risk, I'd walk the long way up. I didn't do about half and half, I guess. Depends on the day and the feeling of the moment, I guess. One day, I was walking up Bertha Hill, the long way. And as I was walking up, this long-haired, greasy-looking dude was coming down the other way. Now, you know, I didn't feel at risk. I didn't really was scared of the guy. But, you know, you still are kind of, you know, you're still, you, so you start, you know, walking, so you don't want to walk too close to that guy. Just, he didn't look like a good character. But as I noticed, he was kind of angling himself towards where I was, no matter where I went in this road. And the road is probably from me to David, maybe a little bit wider than that. So no matter where I was kind of, because I see him from a distance, and he just seemed to just kind of stay on a collision course with me. So, you know, it is what it is. So I get up to him, and he stops. He comes up to me as I'm coming up the hill. He's coming down the hill. It's a long road. And he says to me, "Hey, you want to buy a joint?" Now I look at that guy. First of all, I'm thinking, do I look like I got money? Come on. I live on Bertha Hill. We're all poor up here. Come on. Number two is this. My mom, if my mom ever even thought that I was going to do something like this, she would kill me. But number three is this. What a dumb choice that is. You know, there's a reason they call it dope. Because you're a dope if you take it. Now, I for those who've gone into it and they've ruined their life, God is gracious. And I'm not condemning them. I'm not trying to keep them down. I'm telling you this. What a good choice it is never to take it. Let me tell you what a good testimony is. A good testimony is, I was involved in booze, I got saved, and God took me out of it. That's a good testimony. Let me tell you what a great testimony is. I never did it. That's a great testimony. So a successful life is made up of spiritual choices. I have more to say. Let's just give you the last one. The last thought about this idea of choices is this. The choice of life, that's what kind of what Moses is saying, choose life. Therefore, choose life. The choice of life, if you boil it all down, is this. The choice of life is choosing the life of Christ. Saying, okay, I just want to live the way Jesus lived. That's the best choice. I know it's, again, flipping it because it's mundane. We say it all the time. You know, what would Jesus do? WWJD. But you know what? I think there's some truth to that. What would the Lord do? How did the Lord live his life? How should I follow his example? Let me just give you a verse because I just want to get this to the end of this. The Lord tells us this. Some beautiful verses here in Matthew 11. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." So he's saying, he says, you know what? If you want to make good choices, come to me. Live in me. Live with me. Have a relationship with me. Abide with me. That's the place to make the right choices. When you think about life, we have two choices. We can choose to try to get all that we want by physical things, fleshly things, carnal things, worldly things. We can ignore the Lord, push him away, and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it by my wits or by my strength, by my ability. I'm going to try to do some things in this life. Or we can say this. Again, there's nothing wrong with trying to accomplish some great things, trying to succeed in life. We're not condemning that. But also we have to understand, we say this, but I want to live my life the way the Lord would have me to live. I picked on Brendan, so let's pick on Joe just for a moment. It's only fair. Now, I I'm saying this just broadly. I don't understand all the dynamics, and I'm not pretending to. But Brother Myers has a successful business. It's successful, I think, in several things. And one is that, you know, it continues on month after month. That's successful. It pays his bills. That's successful. He has a good reputation. Most people I know of who know of him, they speak well of him and what he does, and they think highly of him. Now, most likely, again, I could be completely wrong, but I'm just speaking, okay? I'm just preaching here, but I could be completely wrong. Now, most likely, younger Joe will probably follow in older Joe's footsteps. Could be. I mean, here's a business. Older Joe kind of moves forward in life, turns things over to younger Joe. Now, that's a great opportunity, isn't it? That's a wonderful... let me tell you, that is a super wonderful opportunity. I mean, he's been given a name. He's been given some training about these things. Now, here's what I say about it. Here's a temptation. This may not be true, but for some people, it's a temptation. Here's younger Joe. Well, you know what? I think I know how to do this. I think I can do this. I think, and all of a sudden, let me tell you, he leaves the example of his father. Now, I believe this. I believe the example of Elder Joe Myers isn't simply a good business. It's someone who walks with the Lord. And the worst thing that younger Joe would do is not follow that example. Okay, you know how to change tires, you know how to run the business, you know how to do all these things. But if you don't walk with the Lord, you're missing the basis of the success. So the choice isn't simply knowing some things. And the choice is, let's do the life of Christ. Let's do what? How would Christ want me to live? How would Christ want me to live a life? That's the main choice. That's the choice of life. Probably the hardest thing as a pastor. Maybe not hardest. It's one of the hard things. It's in the top five. Is when you're dealing with someone, okay, here's a young person, Brendan, Joe, Sarah, whoever it may be, here's a young person, and you're telling them, okay, I'm telling you right now, as you get older, this is good choices, these are bad choices. They get older, and they make bad choices. And then they come to you, and they say, well, I don't know why my life is all messed up. And it's, you know what the hard thing is not to say? Stupid. I told you not to do that. That's what you want to do in the flesh. Why did you make bad choices? But you will love them, and you're trying to help them and trying to encourage them. You say, okay, let's put the pieces together. Let's try to make some good choices here. Let me tell you what is the great thrill of a pastor. Here's the great thrill of a pastor. When you see a young person grow up and make the right choices. Here's the last story, and I'm done. Sitting here yesterday, about 1 o'clock, we had five kids up on the platform. And it was Ryan, Deanna, one of our kids who ride the van, Mackenzie, one of the Langford girls, and Drew. And then the fifth would be Brendan, who is our teacher of our Christmas program. Now, as I'm sitting there, I'm watching them, and you know, I'm thinking about different programs I've done in school, as a principal and stuff. You know, you're watching, you know, here's Brendan and, not Brendan, Ryan and Drew, you know, they're... you know, they're all over their chair, and the girls are just kind of like this. And there's, you know, they're all like, you know... I'm sitting here watching, boys and girls are just different, aren't they? But then I'm looking at Ryan. I don't know how old Heather was when she first came to Victory and came as a bus kid, and not a bus kid, but came with the Shavers. 8 years old.
1 year younger than what I am now.
1 year younger? Wow. So here I'm watching Ryan up here thinking, there's a day when his mother is that age, and I was in junior church talking to these kids about making good choices. Now, other than picking a husband, other than that one choice, Heather is an example of making good choices. Let me tell you, now, I've not been a pastor very long, but that's what brings joy. Someone who's listened and make the right choices. The heartache is when you've told them, I think that's what Moses did. Don't do this. I'm telling you, the previous generation, don't do this. They messed up. Don't do this. Choose life. Don't choose death. The sad thing, many of them didn't listen to Moses then either. But then there's that one who makes the right choice, and that's where the great blessing is. Choose life. That's what Moses said. Therefore, choose life.